As we have just heard, Jesus three times asks Peter whether or not he loves him. With growing irritation, Peter replies yes, seemingly not understanding why Jesus keeps asking the same question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, scripture, for literary style purposes, often counterbalances good with evil, light with dark, sin and redemption. And as a result, scholars throughout the centuries have offered this passage as a sort of opposite action to Peter's trifold denial of Christ during his passion, "You will deny me three times." So this interplay off of opposites may be and probably is true. But God is always seeking for ways to speak to us. He does this through scripture, wherein passages have layers of meaning that often reveal themselves according to our current situation, our receptivity to the scriptures, and perhaps more importantly, to our maturity. Our theology tells us that we find our ultimate joy in God, but how do we get to that joy? Well, scripture tells us over and over, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Sound easy? Well, not so much. First of all, when we're born, we seem to be one of the most helpless creatures on the planet. We cannot even lift our own heads. And if you think about it, in addition to being helpless, we are the most selfish, self-centered creatures. We don't know anything. Everything must be learned, and our entire communication toolbox consists of one item: crying. We want to be held. We want food. We want to be changed. We can't be too hot or too cold. This is the human being in its most primitive, undeveloped, natural state. And from our perspective, everything revolves around me, me, and me. We are like a hunk of clay ready to be formed. And it is our parents that do this formation in cooperation with the grace of God. They act upon us with unselfish, unconditional love, providing us with what we need when we need it, not unlike what God does for us all. We know that as parents, we must teach the virtues to our unformed children: prudence, justice, temperance, and courage, even if we give them other names like common sense or self-discipline. Then the Holy Spirit, in conjunction with the taught virtues, gives us the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. These are gifts. They can't be taught and they can't be learned. Of all these, instilled in us at any age, help us to know God and ultimately achieve that joy which we all seek. My point here is that even though most of us are physically grown up, it doesn't mean that we're spiritually grown up. Some of us may be physically adults, but spiritually toddlers. Indeed, there are times when we as adults make the most obtuse, imprudent, or intemperate decisions. I myself spent the better part of my adult life overachieving in business, thinking that it would make me happy. Yet, as we all know from Scripture, we are not of this world, nor is this world our end game. And in fact, by putting material goods ahead of everything else, I managed to violate God's first command. I made the unhealthy acquisition of material things my idol instead of the one true God. So how does this all relate to the gospel? Well, when imparting the virtues to children, is it an easy task? Imagine this scenario of a parent to a young child. Clean up your room. Okay. Does it get done? No. Clean up your room. Okay. Does it get done? Maybe. Clean up your room. All right, I'll do it. Does it get done? Probably. And on one unsuspecting day, the room is clean without a request. And we're not talking about a child's fear, a fear of punishment. We're talking about love, the desire of the child to make their parents happy. So in this gospel, when Peter tells Jesus that he loves him, does he have the maturity to actually do so? Maybe not at that time, but he did become our first pope. Even Peter had some maturing to do, and that makes him not such a bad role model for us.